Okay, so last year we had gone through a nice chunk of the Haggadah on, we'll call it round one. From the beginning, really, I listened to the recording to make sure we got up to Vishamda. We did not get to every piece, we didn't do every aspect, but we did a number of aspects. I'm going to really start from there because I want to try to get through at least a cycle of going through the overall structure of some of the pieces of the Haggadah. Bli Neder, tomorrow, we're going to send out the recording of last year's. So anyone wants to listen to the recording of last year's, they didn't hear it, or wants to listen to it again, welcome to do so. And so we can have the beginning part as well. I want to repeat one thing which I mentioned last year, and I think it's probably the most important thing, which I believe is the most important thing in the Haggadah, is very often people use the Haggadah as a time to share Verlach. A nice cute vart or a question and answer on a piece of the Haggadah, what this means, what the idea behind it is, gematria, things of that nature, which is wonderful, and Divrei Torah all special and wonderful. It's not the job, the goal, the focus of the Haggadah at all. And the focus of the Haggadah is an idea of giving over and instilling the yisoides, the foundational concepts which are all built into the Haggadah, to ourselves and to our families. That's the goal. And everything in the Haggadah has to be really viewed through that prism, that things are foundational. This is our basic misera, our yisoides of yadus, of Yiddishkeit, are all built into the Haggadah. It's the night of, obviously, v'gad delavincha, which is giving over to our children, but it's also to ourselves. To ourselves, and still into ourselves, the concepts, the crucial concepts that are relevant to the Haggadah. And that has to be the way we go through it, the way we look at it, and the way we give it over. And try to pick out pieces. And obviously preparation is crucial, necessary. It's impossible to approach the Haggadah without spending hours and hours really preparing properly, both for ourselves, whether we're leading a Seder or not leading a Seder, but to be able to give over these concepts. Preparation is certainly necessary, and as much as one can do and put time into it, it's going to make a significant difference in terms of what they can hopefully get out of it, whether for themselves or others. And obviously we're doing some of the preparation tonight, but this certainly should not be the beginning and the end of it. We're going to do a little bit, go through some pieces that perhaps we can take some concepts out of and hopefully use for ourselves and to give over, but certainly the preparation beyond this is necessary. And the truth is that a lot of the preparation really helps the person attach themselves or connect to different thoughts in the Haggadah, which are meaningful to them. Right? I'm going to share some things that are meaningful to me, but things that are meaningful to every person here is really what the goal is. Things that are talk to you, things that are meaningful, things that you can share over, things that touch you, and hopefully as a way of giving those over, things that are one can feel passionate about. So that's the introduction. With that being said, I listened to the recording. I forgot this. I ended off last year with a maisa, which I think is an incredible maisa from the Alexander Rebbe. He said over that, not a maisa, just a line, which I think is good for introduction. He said, if someone doesn't believe that through the Haggadah, through the entire episode of saying over and connecting to the Haggadah, they can start from the lowest possible level and reach the highest levels that are possible. He said, that person is the Rasha in the Haggadah. That person is the Rasha in the Haggadah. Meaning that we have to believe that we can have the ability to connect to incredibly lofty concepts through the Haggadah, and a person can change. On that note, the Sfarim say the word Pesach itself means to jump over. And it's part of many Sfarim that a person can jump madrigas, levels on Pesach. You can jump levels on Pesach because there's something which is instilled into the Antif itself, which is a, I want to call it a school. It's more than a school. It's inherent in the Antif itself, in the DNA of the Antif, that a person can be Pesach and can jump levels. And the more that one connects to the Haggadah, the more they have that ability to do so. And hopefully we can use it in that fashion. So based on the structure from last year, we're up to Tzei Lomad, which this is a difficult part of the Haggadah. The reason why it's difficult is because it doesn't have the same short pieces. It's psukim, which usually we get the psukim in the Gemara. We just read through them and don't necessarily focus on them. It's a lot of psukim. And what we try to do in during this psukim is two things. Try to read them and translate them, just basic translation. And I think it's crucial to have a translation. Most of them, the words are not so difficult, but sometimes they are. Sometimes just what the context is. Use English Haggadah, translate the words. Whoever's leading the Seder should translate the words. If you're not leading it, translate it for yourself, just to know what the words mean. That's one thing we try to do. And then try to pick out a few pieces here and there. It's a number of psukim. It gets sometimes just, I don't want to say word cumbersome, it can feel cumbersome. Just reading through the psukim, try to just focus on a few points in each pasuk or throughout the psukim to be able to walk away with some of the concepts the Baal Haggadah is trying to give over by using these psukim. So the first introduction to the psukim is Teilamad. Go out and learn what Lavan and Rami wanted to do. Lasis Yaakov Avinu. Sheparai legozer el al ascharim v'lovim bikish lakar sakol. The Parai only wanted to decree on the males, and Lavan wanted to wipe out everyone, destroy everyone. Now, the first and most obvious question, which just to understand what is this saying? Sounds like a wonderful praise of Paro. Paro was a good guy. Right? Love him. He was the Rasha. He wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael totally. We're not getting into today how Love wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. It's its own discussion, which needs really. So, but clearly in that God it says that Love was worse. Love wanted to be Gish Lakar Sakol, and Paro sounded like a good guy. Only wanted to be Gozal Ascharim. The point of Haggadah is not to go give praise to Parai. That we all for sure know that, right? That wasn't the goal of Haggadah. So what exactly are we doing in this whole piece over here with mentioning Lavan and contrasting him to Parai? So very fundamental you said here, which is brought down really based on called the Sfarim. I think it's based on a said from Rav Chaim, maybe, I believe. There's a very, very important you said here. Lavan wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael totally. Men, women, boys, girls, uproot and cut off Klal Yisrael. Parai followed Lavan. Parai was after Lavan. Lavan was unsuccessful, obviously. Didn't destroy Klal Yisrael. So Parai realized that to destroy Klal Yisrael is not going to be within the possibility of anyone. Kodesh Baruch Hu a special law for Klal Yisrael. He's not going to allow Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. Which is why he came up with a more devious plan. He's going to destroy just the Scharim, just the males. Leave all the females. What would that accomplish? That only females left. There's only one person now to marry is Mitzrayim. Okay. So Parai had this devious plan on two aspects. Number one was that he wanted to go in and circumvent what Lavan failed in. If I don't destroy the whole Klal Yisrael, maybe I'll be successful. Of course, he can't destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. And so much so, I'll leave all the females. The children will be Jewish. Intermarried to Goyim, to Mitzrayim. And in some ways, what the Baal Haggadah is saying is that's worse. That is worse. To have a Klal Yisrael that it continues, but unfortunately, the Kedusha, the holiness of Klal Yisrael, who we are, is tainted and perhaps destroyed through intermarriage. That's worse than destroying Klal Yisrael. It's worse than destroying Klal Yisrael. A Klal Yisrael without Kedusha is not a Klal Yisrael. And what really was saying is that Parai le'gozal ascharim, but he was using that as his plan, but in a way that was much more dangerous, much more devious. I believe I heard this in the Brisker Rav. I believe I was trying to find where I saw it, but I did once saw it in the Brisker Rav. He had children who I believe was this Brisker Rav, who wasn't sure what happened to him after the Holocaust. And he said then that he hopes that if they couldn't find them, that they actually were killed, rather than the other possibility that they would have happened. They would have been taken away by Goyim, ended up living lives as Goyim, so that rather they had been killed, Akedesh Hashem, than perhaps live a life as a Goy. And that's really what was taking place over here, is that we have to realize that Klal Yisrael, who we are as a nation, And what the continuity of Klal Yisrael is not just the fact that we're here, we exist. We're here b'kedusha. It's interesting, I was thinking about this. It's not exact parallel, but similar, right? There was this father after October 7th. He was the father of Emily, who eventually was released. He thought that she was killed and didn't realize she was a hostage. And saw this back right after October 7th, and he said he thought she was killed. He was happy that she was killed rather than taken by Hamas. She ended up not being killed, but he was happy because, again, on a similar vein, right? Dying as a yid is far, far, far surpasses the alternative. And alternative power is us living as Klal Yisrael, as goyim, with kedusha tainted, intermarriage, etc. And it really defines the specialness of Klal Yisrael and who we are, what we stand for. And I think this is a very crucial, fundamental idea being brought out in this keta. We continue with the psukim, Rami Avidavi, and then we go through the Yer Mitzrayma. Very, very fundamental concepts in this psukim. Yer Mitzrayma. The pasuk says, "Anus al pi adibur." They were forced. Al pi adibur simply means Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Svarim Taitcha from the Maggid of Mizrach, that he says that al pi adibur means something we actually referred to at the end of last year. That anus al pi adibur means they were forced because of dibur, because of their speech, because of the way they spoke. That unfortunately, the negative things, right? This is really Rashi and Chumash brings down this idea that because of the lashon hara, the negative speech that Klal Yisrael is involved in. That caused the Yerim Mitzrayimus. Honest al Piyadibur, they were honest, they were forced down because of Dibur, because of their speech, because of the way they spoke and interacted in a negative way. And the Chashivas and the importance of how speech can affect in a negative way, and obviously the flip side as well. Continues the Psukim. And this next Keta is probably one of the most fundamental parts of the Haggadah. Vayogar Sham, they went to live there. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim not to become part of the nation of Mitzrayim, to become a citizen. Logur to be like a ger, as a stranger, to live there, as a tourist, and not as a citizen of Mitzrayim. And this really was not Yaakov's choice. It actually was a choice that was brought down by Yosef. Yosef was, when Klal Yisrael was coming down to Mitzrayim, Yosef said, we're going to choose the land of Goshen for this reason, to be separate, to be different. And all the Svarim say, this is the such a fundamental yisoid in how Klal Yisrael survives in Golus. We don't survive in Golus by blending in, by becoming part, but by staying separate, and by being separate, and being different, and standing out, and in every way, standing apart from the world around us. And this idea that was chosen, and as we all know, the famous Chazal, that the reason why Klal Yisrael was zeicha to leave Mitzrayim, Shleishinus, Malbusha, Mishmam, Mislashem, they didn't change their language, their dress, their names, was this idea that they never really became part of the society of Mitzrayim, and that's why they were zeicha to leave Mitzrayim. So Vayogasham, this is all the ability they had to leave was because of that. So a beautiful idea in, I forgot one of the goddesses, I saw this once, that Moshe had two children, Gershom and Eliezer. And Pesukim say, why do you call his son Gershom? Because he's a ger, he's lived as a ger. Eliezer, that he was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you saved me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me, it was Ezer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. So the second we understand, he's saying, Shavach, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving him. Why is he calling his child the Ger? Ger Shem is a Ger. What was exactly? He was a stranger. What was exactly was the point of that? The Sforim say this idea that the way he got to have Eliezer, the way he got to be saved, was because he was a Ger. He always, wherever he was, he saw himself not as part of the nation, part of the place surroundings he was in, but separate and different and just as a stranger, just as a foreigner in those places. And that's why the ability he had to go and do so. Anyway, we're just going to keep on moving through these psukim, different small ideas that come out. The Mseimat is the next words of the psukim, and we say a pasuk that we went down, Meshivim Nefesh, went down 70 people, Yodah V'sachem Mitzrayim. And Kosh Baruch Hu now, Samach Hashem Elokecha, Kikrech V'shrayim L'Rayv. And this is one place where I can't see, but there's something which I've focused on many years on this Keta, is that Klal Yisrael just experienced the same thing, really experienced by every Golus, but you know, after the Holocaust, and you know, I try very often, since you know, I grew up with my grandfather as a survivor, we try to bring the Holocaust as much as possible into the Haggadah, just it's easy to be able to relate to and connect to it. But my grandfather was a sole survivor of his family. My grandmother as well. Come on, the only survivors of a large family. Two people who got married in the DP camps in Europe, in Germany, and they themselves had two children. Two children. From those two children, 18 grandchildren. Kind of now there are probably close to 100 great-grandchildren from two survivors who decided they're going to rebuild. And this is the koyach and the set of Klal Yisrael, Mseimat. Right, we are small in number, but we have an incredible, incredible resilience and fortitude to always build and rebuild when necessary. And that's really what took place in Mitzrayim. It wasn't just the fact that they had this tremendous nes, but under these circumstances of Parai, they thought about one thing: having children. Right, they were going through it at the same time they were being tortured and beaten and working, etc. What were they focusing on? Having children. And continuing and building Klal Yisrael. And that's really what the focus of this point is, that who Klal Yisrael is an ability that from the smallest numbers we can keep on realizing that our goal, our future, is by constantly building and rebuilding who Klal Yisrael is. For Yisham Lagoy continues the Pasuk. Melamesh Yisom Mitzuyonim Yisham. Klal Yisrael is Mitzuyin. Mitzuyin means that they were outstanding. Test Mitzuyan, right? It's outstanding. Klal Yisrael is Mitzuyan Shem. Again, the same Yisrael. They stood apart, separate, and different from the nations around them. They're always outstanding. And they look different. And they appear different. And they stood out. And that was a Maila. This is the Maila that was saying that Klal Yisrael's survival was due and result of Mitzuyan Shem. God of Yatsim, as the Pasuk says, part of Yishut of Yatsim, like he just said, that they were continuing and building the future of Klal Yisrael, even in these difficult circumstances. And then the last part of this pasuk is V'rav, and it brings Revava Ketzema Chasada, Saticha, V'tirbe, V'tegdili, V'tevi, Adi, Adoyim. Right, they were without anything. And Kosh Baruch gave them two things, two mitzvahs, which we dip twice, the Maya Chayu, the Maya Chayu, referring to the blood, as the Sfarim say, of Dan Pesach and Namila. Dan Pesach and Namila. And just to think about for a moment, you know, Klal Yisrael was, as the Pasuk says, they were Erem Ve'eria, they were nothing, they had nothing to, they had no mitzvahs, they had no zchusim to go out of Mitzrayim. Kosh Baruch gave them two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Dan Pesach and the mitzvah of Dan Mila. Those two mitzvahs are define really Klal Yisrael. They define Klal Yisrael. Dan Mila is really representing the whole concept of Mila, is a bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the idea of a bris? Is a way of connection. What is the way of connection? As all the Sfarim say, that the idea of bris is that we're being Makadish, we are making holy something which has the ability to be seen as something the opposite of holiness. We're taking the Eivor on the body, which is can be used, the opposite of holiness, and raising it up. That's the definition of Klal Yisrael, is the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, of who Klal Yisrael stands for, what they are. And the truth is, as we all know, the bris is on the eighth day. Eighth, the Maral says, and many others from say, is always Lamalam and Atev, is always above nature. Because the nature of a person is to be pulled down by all the tumma of this world, which threatens to flood a person and destroy a person. We rise above that. The Tamila represents that concept. We rise above that. And that's the idea of why Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim had the Tamila, particularly living in Mitzrayim, which is called the Ervas Aretz, the most immoral, depraved society that existed. Klal Yisrael rose above that. They were to rise above that. And that's why that was the mitzvah of Tamila, really represented that concept. And on Pesach really was a decision. It really goes hand in hand. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take the Korban Pesach. The Yisrael of Korban Pesach is, are you with me or not? right? The Mitzrayim obviously stood for the lamb as the Avodah Zarah, and us taking the Korban Pesach was really a declaration that Kadosh Baruch Hu with you and not with the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim want nothing more than to, as we said before, to engulf us, to make us part of their society, to make them part of who they are. And this was the final declaration we made that Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not part of them. We're not part of them, we're with you, we're not with them. And that's really why those two mitzvahs particularly, right, one going against the teva, the nature of who we are, which is what Klal Yisrael stands for, going against our, the teva, and that decision that with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, those two things really stood for Klal Yisrael. Those two Dan Pesach and Amilu, which really would discuss why Klal Yisrael ended up leaving without any mitzvahs, those two mitzvahs they got to be able to make those declarations. Next pasuk is Vireyo Yisanu Hamitzrayim Ve'anunu, and they gave us Avodah Kasher. So this is the plan. The as the pesukim go through, Havan Eschak Malay, the Pari says maybe they'll come smart, and they will rise up against us, and they will join our enemies, and they will drive us out of the land. That was the concern that Pari had. So what do? Ve'anunu, he afflicted them. They built these cities for Pari, the Avodah Kasher. Like it says, we have to try and spend Yisrael b'farich. So this is a Yisrael which we've touched upon in the past, in different places, that the Ramchal Masil Tisharim writes, and this is a crucial Yisrael which we have to walk away from the Haggadah with, that Pari and the Yitzhara really have the same exact plan. Same plan. Sil Sharon writes this in the beginning of Sil Sharon, Rabchal writes this, that they have the same plan. Pari's plan was, I'm worried, they're going to destroy, rise up, join my enemies, and drive us out of Mitzrayim. So what do you do? A very simple plan. Keep them busy. Don't let them think. Don't let them have the ability to think. That was a very simple, basic plan that Pari had. The Rabchal says it's exactly the same exact plan the Yitzhara has for every one of us. Keep us busy. Keep us a lack of ability to think, to focus properly, try to distract us, and that's his greatest tool that the Yitzhar has. Mamish maintaining Pari. And so much of what Pari and the Mitzrayim represent is not just a history story or lesson. It's really taking the Seder, it's taking the foundations of what was relevant then and how is it relevant to us? How can we walk away with? And we've said before, I mentioned in the past, that the idea of Mitzrayim is not just a physical place. Mitzrayim is a concept. Mitzar is the Mitzarim, the narrow constraints. The Yitzhara doesn't let us look at anything besides what's right in front of us. Doesn't let us think bigger and think broader and think grander. Just focus on what's right in front of you and don't think anything besides that. That's Mitzrayim, Mitzar, the constraints and the boundaries of what Mitzrayim is. Mitzrayim is not just a geographical location. It's a concept. And that's what Pare did. The way he's forcing us to be in this place called Mitzrayim, in this mindset called Mitzrayim, is not allowing us to think, to focus on anything besides what's right in front of us, and nothing besides that. And that's this entire concept of Avodah Kasher, the Saramisim, and the fact of what Pari's plan was. Next pasuk. V'nitzak al Hashem Elokei Avaseinu v'yishma Hashem Eskolenu v'yaris enyenu v'samalenu v'achatzenu. We cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard our voices and he saw our suffering and our oppression and everything that was taking place. So firstly, this is a very, very important part of the Haggadah. Right, last year we spoke about by Manishtana, Kana Ben Shoyo, we spoke about the idea of stopping for a moment and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's two types of tefillah. It's Kana Ben Shoyo, which we spoke about then, and Vaditzak is a different type of tefillah. And it's like a screaming at HaKadosh Baruch Hu without words. Scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a special koyach of tefillah that doesn't have words. It's just it's a realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't even express it. It's so painful. It's so difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't even express my pain. I'm just screaming at you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the koyach of HaNitzach. And we said last year that from the Tzarizal, Rizal says that on Pesach means that the mouth spoke, because until the Tzias Mitzrayim, the mouth was in Golus. The mouth wasn't able to speak. Pesach means the mouth now can speak. That was the release of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. What does it mean the mouth can't speak? Sometimes a person is through the avodah kasha, through the difficulty of not being allowed to think, focus, I can't even like express myself. I can't even have the ability to think, to focus. Totally overwhelmed. And Vanitzak is the cry that comes when I realize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't even know how or what to say. I'm just crying out because I realize you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can do everything. And the Sarim say this is a tremendous time also of tefillah. Tefillah through the Derech of Vanitzak. There's been many, many Sipurei Tzadikim where people who were able to really cry out at this time, to dive for things at this time, particularly with the realization, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm relying fully on you. Nothing else, I have nothing else to rely upon. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Kerech of Anitzak. Right? So Rav Meilech brings down, he says in his Agada, that he had there was a couple who didn't have children for a number of years, and they knew about the school of Anitzak, to cry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time, and to scream out, and to use a Kerech of Tefillah, but they always felt a little bit shy, a little embarrassed. He says, the year of COVID, that they're alone. They spent say they're alone, and they did. They taka were mekayim v'nitzak. They cried out and they screamed out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and taka was zeichah the child that year. And he says that sometimes it needs that raw emotion of a person screaming and calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this kayach of going to do so. And I saw just in connected to that, I was maestro with Avni Nezer. And I think it very much relates to this concept. Ebenezer was once going to be a standik in the next town over for a person who had a child. And they asked him that it was not his way to go travel outside the city, to go be a standik. Why are you going to this particular bris? And he told them that this person came to me to ask me the standik for the bris. He came to me and said, 15 years we're waiting to have children. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a child after 15 years. Avnezer said that very often the words he hears from people who had such similar yeshuas is that I went to this tzaddik and I got a bracha, I went to this tzaddik and I got a bracha. So the fact that a person said, came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with that realization, with that clarity, so that itself deserves the person to go travel to be as part of a simcha, and he went there. I think that's his karech vanitzak. Screaming at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the realization that we have one thing to rely upon, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rely upon, and nothing else. And that's really what this psukim referred to. We call that the screaming at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard our voices. He saw our suffering. Amaleinu. Alachatzeinu. All the things that we went through in difficulty. And then we end off. V'yetzei Sinu Hashem Mitzrayim Mirachazaka Zayin Atuya Mirigodol Ba'isir Sumevsim. And we say through this whole keta, Laya de Malach, Laya de Yisarav, Laya de Shliach, that it came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this ties back to that same Yisrael we just said, that the realization that comes, that the Yeshua comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has this screaming at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have nothing to rely upon besides you, nothing. That's what brings the Yeshua. And that's what Taka, the Yeshua, is done in this way. Laya de Malach. Himself, the Yeshua. And we go through Yer Chazaka, Zayin Atuya, Merigadol, different ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu interact with us. The next really part that sticks out is the Eser Makis. Eser Makis is interesting. The Mishabura writes one of the most fundamental parts of the Haggadah's Eser Makis. He says that after Rav Gamliel, which is the three things that in Yetzir Chayiv, he says the next thing, second most important, is the Eser Makis. Talk about them. We all know Midrashim about them. We've heard stories about them, and there's beautiful different Midrashim which is worth looking up and making it come alive and making it come real. I think if there's one Yisoid which is really just to focus on and speak about during Eser Makis, as the Pesukim say that the goal of the Makis is L'manash HaSalalti Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu like made fun and made a joke out of Mitzrayim. Just put it into context, to talk about the idea that the Mitzrayim were the world power. They were the world power. And they had everything. And they were really self-sufficient also with the Nile River, which is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacked at first. You're feeling of self-sufficiency. You have nothing to... No needs. Everything is taken care of on your own. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a joke out of them. He tore down the whole concept of this world power, and Pasha turned them into a laughingstock. Each Makkah was doing that in a different way, attacking a different, we'll call it Kayach, a power that they had. Dan was the Nile, right? So they also was very much to the Nile. Kenan was in themselves and their body, and the fact that they had, they thought and they couldn't even control that. Arev was the Kayach of their rulership over nature, and went up, served against them. Dever was a similar concept. Right? The Shekhinah is how nature is joining forces to go and overtake them. Sorry, that's bird. Right? Shekhinah again is attacking their body. Arab Chesh Makas Becharias is all about the land, their ability to have control over themselves. They can't even see anything. And Makas Becharias certainly is the death of their most chash of their firstborns. Each one is like attacking a kreach that they feel they had, and they have realization they have nothing. And when a nation believes they're all powerful, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything to go and show to them and show to us that there's nothing there. They have no kayach, no power on their own. And that's really the fundamental, which is one of the crucial yesaidis of the entire Haggadah, is the fact of who's in control. The world power that it would seem is nothing to it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that through Esa Makas. That's really the next 3 points of just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's each Makas, maybe you have multiple facets of it. There's not just 10, there's 50, and there's, right, according to the first sheet, and then each one was 4, which is, right, and it goes on and on, right, the level of how much Makas each one was. Moving along, next Ket is Dayenu, and Dayenu is a very interesting. Dayenu is really obviously is a haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that we received, and very interesting. This idea of using Dayenu as the way of expressing haidah. And Sasemis famously writes that one of the fundamental differences between Yaakov and Esav, which is really a description of who Klal Yisrael is, was when they met after. Yaakov was, Esav was chasing Yaakov. So the Pesukim point out that Esav says the words, Ishli Rav, and Yaakov is the Ishli Kol. So Sasemis has a lot of Torah on this, that the difference between Ishli Rav and Ishli Kol. So Ishli Rav is, as the Sfarim right, Esav says, I have a lot, but I always want more. And Yaakov is the Ishli Kol. I have everything. I need nothing more of everything I've always wanted. If nothing more is necessary. Dayenu really is this aspect, is that whatever a person has from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize this is I have everything. Dayenu. It's a very deep way of expressing Haidah. It's not saying thank you for this and thank you for that. No, it's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what I receive on any level, a small level, that's Dayenu. That's enough. I have everything I need. I need nothing more than that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you decide that's what I should have, that's enough. And we keep on saying that again and again, instilling ourselves into this concept of that's where we express Haidah. That at each, no matter what we have, no matter how much we are Zaycha to, that's everything. And that's the concept of Dayenu, which I think is a very beautiful way of expressing Haidah. Last thing I want to focus on for this year is Gamliel, Pesach, Matzah, Umar, which is obviously, as we know, one of the most important parts of the Haggadah. And each one really has to be understood individually, what they mean, what they're teaching us, what they're focusing on, what the idea of Pesach is, what of Matzah and Maror. Pesach we spoke about a little before. I want to just add on the point. It's fascinating that the whole idea of the Yontif is called Pesach. Fascinating, right? Having to do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the Bati Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses of Bati Yisrael, skipped over the houses of Yisrael, only wiped out the Bati Mitzrayim. That gets the whole name of the Yontif. And it seems like it's a nice point, nice aspect of the Yontif. Doesn't seem like the whole fundamental point of the entire Yontif. And as the Rav Gamliel says, this is the fact that it's about the Karban Pesach, Shem Shepasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about the Emesenim Mitzrayim. That's the connection to Karban Pesach. Why is this so fundamental and becomes the whole name of the Antif and becomes something which is one of the three most important things we focus about? You don't even have it anymore, right? So the Karban Pesach, which is what Klal Yisrael did on the 10th day of Nisan, as we said before, was really a decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're with you. It's a decision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are with you and not with the Mitzrayim. And the Pesach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, Al Batei Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the Batei Avisenim Mitzrayim, was a mirror reflection of that. So Ani L'daydi L'daydi Li, is that the fact that we reached out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we chose Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this ultimate test of, are you going to go with the Mitzrayim, who this is the Avodah Zarah, and you have to go make a decision now, or are you going to choose HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, and because of that choice that we made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and made that choice to us, and chose us, and really, Asher Baruch Haman Mikol Amim came as a result of the Pesach, is that decision that we made. And therefore we focus on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mirrored our actions. And when we make the slightest move towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mirrors that. Hashem Tzuch, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to mirror the actions we do. And that decision that we made was really imitated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this Pasach, Abad Yemeseinu. And that's really the underlying yisrael of the whole Yontif, which I call a Pesach, is that became because of what we did, decision we made, that's how it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipping about the Mitzrayim. Matzah, there's a lot to talk about in the idea of matzah, but just the side of matzah. Right? Matzah and chametz, as we all know, are really the same thing. Both flour, both water, very little difference between them. Basically the same thing. Except one difference. Matzah is the plain and simple flour and water, and chametz rises. And it's full of air, and the air makes it blow up, and become big, and become like a challah, or like bread. And the main yisrael the Torah focused on is that really matzah is what's real, what's emes, what's the truth, what it's supposed to be. And chametz is the blown up version of it. But it's blown up with ear. There's nothing to it. You can squish it and it becomes back into nothing. That's a mirage. It's a mirage. It looks big, it looks glorious, it looks glamorous. Nothing to it. There's nothing there. And the Sfarim write that this is Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. This world is like the chametz can look big and glorious and glamorous. It's all mirage. Nothing to it. It's air. Nothing to it. And what it really is, what's really the side of emes is the matzah, which represents Olam Haba, the realness of life itself. And what we declare on Pesach, through eating of matzah and chametz, is an ability to see through this mirage. What we spoke about before, that Pare's main plan was to have Klal Yisrael not be able to think and to focus, and therefore just look, get caught up in what's in front of them, this mirage of what Olam Hazeh looks like, and something which is important and valuable and glamorous. That's what Pare wanted. That's what the Yetzer Hara wants from us. And we focus on the matzah, on the realization that there's nothing to it, is nothing beyond it, all it is air, and realize what's truly behind the emes, which represented by the matzah, is really what's going to be meaningful and valuable. And that's the side of matzah, what it represents. And maror is fascinating, that maror in the order of Gamliel is put last. It's Pesach, matzah, and then maror. And maror really should be first. And chronologically, maror was first. Right? First they had bitter difficulty, then they had Pesach, and then matzah. So maror should be first, not last. Why is maror placed as the last piece of Avraham Gamliel? And why is it at the end? And as far as I say, this is something which is also very, very fundamental, is that Mara represents all Jewish suffering, which we've suffered that all the years. All the years, every generation is really what the next mamish, the peace goes to, is the suffering that Klal Yisrael had, is the Mara. Only at the end are we going to realize that Mara had a purpose, had a tachas, had a reason why all that suffering was there. And that's Mara is put at the end for this reason, is that we should realize that at the end there's going to be a understanding, an ability to see beyond just the simple suffering itself, and realize that it was Maru. At that time it was difficult and it was bitter and it was suffering, but ultimately at the end it's going to have a realization of what the tachas was. It was to be able to go and bring us, which is really the next. You say seeing ourselves like leaving Mitzrayim is suffering that every part of Klal Yisrael went through. Was only to be able to bring them to a higher level, to bring them to the next level, to leave their own personal Mitzrayim, take them out of that, and hopefully through that get to the highest possible level. Hopefully we can take some of these, you say this, with them quickly, but these are just ideas to think about, hopefully to focus on, to be able to build on, and relate to, and every person in their own way, through these some of these concepts, and hopefully through them we find the Seder to be something which is not just a experience, but something which is very, very personal, and we can take it with us, hopefully through the rest of the year, Be'ezer Hashem, and come to the highest possible level that we can pass that we can jump through the Seder.